I'd like now to welcome Colette Feinberg. She is a life and wellness coach, and this is Cancer Awareness Week, and she is a four-time cancer survivor who leads support groups for people with cancer. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte. Thank you so much.
It's a hard subject to talk about, obviously, because when that diagnosis comes, no matter what kind of cancer it is, and some of them are perceived as a death sentence immediately, and some of them have a very good prognosis. No matter what it is on that spectrum, it's very scary.
It is. The impact is really devastating when it first hits you. You kind of have to pick yourself off the floor and figure, okay, so what do I do now?
And then making the decisions of what to do now is a journey, and in your case, a very long journey of, over 15 years. And you have chosen a path that included both allopathic medicine, alternative medicine, and then all sorts of other ways of supporting your spirit and heart, so to speak.
Yes, because I feel that it's so important to uplift your spirit along the way. As a part of it, I see it as a holistic approach. And I think it's such an important part of the healing, in addition to doing the treatments that you've chosen to do for yourself.
So how did you, when this diagnosis came, how did you navigate your way forward? How did you figure out the choices that you wanted to make, and how do you look back on those choices?
I did a lot of research, actually, on the internet. I talked to people. I looked to see what was out there, what was available, what the different options were. And then I think it's so important for each individual to, for me, it was like checking inside. Does this feel right for me? Is this something that I want to have as a treatment on my body? Can I handle this treatment emotionally, physically, mentally? Because they're all connected. And I had to ask myself that with every choice that I made. And it was very important for me, for myself, to make those choices that were aligned with who I am and my spirit.
And so that included surgery at one point, and then you went to Mexico and did some alternative treatments there.
Yes, I did something called Gerson therapy. It's a very assertive alternative treatment.
What is it?
It's done through all kinds of different IVs, and the doctor is the one who chooses what they are, but they're usually vitamins, minerals, all kinds of supplements, but done in, you know, intravenously. The diet is incredibly strict because as a cancer patient, you have to be very, very mindful about what you put in your body.
So no more spaghetti and meatballs.
Well, that was not an option. And also being careful about, you know, meats because they're carcinogenic. So there's certain, and cancer, by the way, feeds on sugar. And there's many things that turn into sugar, not just sugar itself. So
when you say meat is carcinogenic, you mean when it has nitrites and things like that in it?
Yes, but it's still not part of a cancer diet, at least not any of the ones that I've been involved with. I've been on raw foods. I've been on vegetarian kinds of things because they really feed the body and feed the cells. And again, that's a choice. That's a choice. But I've been to a couple different clinics, two or three clinics, and every one of them has had a specific diet, and none of them included any kind of meat or sugar or carbohydrates or any of those things.
So you're basically on vegetables.
Vegetables, fruit, things like that, yes.
Plants.
Yes, plants, because they're live, and they're live enzymes, and again, they feed the body, and they build the body.
And so that actually worked out for you, but then there were three more recurrences.
Yes, to my surprise, there were. And I just had to make new choices each time. I did go through surgery three times in terms of a lumpectomy, but then I made other choices that would support the body, because if you make choices and you only make choices to do treatments that bring down your immune system, you have nothing to fight with. You have to have an immune system to be able to fight.
Right.
So whatever path you choose, I think it's pretty important to have a holistic approach in your treatments, so you're supporting the body as you go along, having whatever treatments you choose that feel right for you.
So you lead groups, support groups for people who are dealing with cancer in one way or another. What do you do in your groups?
The groups, I basically call them navigating your healing journey, because I see it as a healing journey, and I hold it as wellness. So I'm creating a safe place for women to come and share their stories, for them to share with each other, to give information, to give direction, to share tools for things like balance, setting boundaries, enhancing the quality of your life.
Now, when you say setting boundaries, from your own experience, what does that mean?
One of the things that it means, and I have, of course, had this happen to me, so I had to learn very quickly how to set boundaries, is, you know, your friends and your family love you, and they want to help you in any way they can, except most people don't know how. And so what I found is people would give me all kinds of resources, and I found myself being overwhelmed.
Now, by resources, do you mean unsolicited advice? Oh, you should take this supplement, that kind of thing?
Or you should go to this clinic, or you should take this, or this is a great protocol, or lots of people have had success with this. That does not help. It creates a lot of overwhelm and confusion, and I've talked to many cancer patients that have had the same experience. So I had to learn how to say, "Gee, I know you love me, but I really appreciate you caring and sharing things with me. But I have to make the choices for myself of what feels right for me, and what I would love is your love and support and your compassion."
I think it's particularly tricky in a place like Santa Fe, which has a very well-developed holistic and alternative medicine community, and a lot of people who are patients in those many systems, who then start thinking they know everything and they want to enlighten you.
Yes. Yes, that's true. But again, they're just trying to let you know that they care about you. And so I've had to say, thank you, but I've chosen what I feel is right for me, and I'll keep this in mind, or I'll put this in my library, but all this information it's a little bit too much for me, because I'm very fragile right now. I'm saying, as I'm going through these treatments, I'm fragile and I'm vulnerable, and what I really need is support, and if I need something else, I will ask you.
Now, what kind of support is useful in situations like that? Let's say you're the relative or friend of somebody who's had a cancer diagnosis, maybe first time, maybe second or more. What kind of support do they need? What kind of support did you need in those moments?
I needed someone in the very beginning who could do a lot of research. And in this instance, it happened to be, at that time I was married for a long time. And so he knew me well. And he was a research person, and he also knew what my mindset was, what my consciousness was, what was important to me. And so he did a lot of the research for me, and then would share things with me, and we would talk about them, because there's just so many things out there, and I think it's important to choose a protocol and then have support systems around it, rather than being all over the place. And any one thing is not for everyone. And I think it's important to honor what each person has chosen for their particular treatments or protocol. That's very important.
And I think because you are emphasizing this intuitive part of it, you know, for some people, for example, in regular life, vegetarianism is very healthy for them, and for other people it makes them skinny and weak. Mm-hmm. And in the same way, medical treatments, they're not all the same for all people. There is no gold standard that works for everybody.
That's true. There's not.
So beyond the research phase, so you had this wonderful partner who helped you do the research. Then you choose a treatment. What kind of support and help do you need during that treatment?
I think being around other people who've gone through it, who understand, because if you haven't walked in those shoes, you can have compassion. It's not the same than having been through it. And also then letting them know exactly what you would like from them so that both people are clear on that piece. And then doing other things besides diet, you know. For me, I would do yoga, and I've been meditating for 30 years, and I have a particular path that I follow that has given me a lot of strength on all levels, and so that I can do what I call kind of hold my center, you know, so that when things are coming at me, I can remain calm inside.
Right.
Keeping your stress level down is incredibly important, and thoughts create stress. So I have many, many tools that help me do that, and that is very, very key for me.
We're talking to Colette Feinberg. She is a life and wellness coach, and she leads support groups for people with cancer. We'll be giving the phone number at the end of this segment. You've talked about acceptance, and acceptance can mean a lot of things. There's acceptance of the disease. There's acceptance of the fact of mortality. What does it mean for you? What do you go through when you're going through that process of learning acceptance?
I think it is a process and it is a journey. It doesn't happen overnight. And I've had a lot of things to deal with. I mean, fear, for one. I mean, it's huge. I don't know too many people on this planet who just go, oh yeah, I'm going to die. That's great. I mean, you know, that comes up. So dealing with each thing that comes up and being able to accept yourself the way you are right now and loving yourself, really learning how to love yourself from the inside out, is very, very important, because it's not out there with classes and people and everything else. That's not where the love needs to come from to sustain you. So loving yourself and having trust, not only in yourself, but in your higher power, whatever that may be. And so it's a journey coming to that place of saying, yes, I accept the way that I am right now. And if you can stay present in each moment, fear only lives in the future. So if you can stay in the moment, it's a lot easier, and you're able to stay much more calm and peaceful. And then having different tools, whether it be prayer, you know, meditation, yoga to calm the body, because then it stops the mind. Things like that, that support you in the whole picture.
Was there any moment that was a turning point for you in this whole process of real acceptance and alignment within yourself about having cancer?
I don't think acceptance is a one-time thing. I think there are many levels, and I think that for me, different things come up along the way. It could be fear, it could be anxiety, it could be something that triggers me and gets me stressed out. And being able to accept myself for where I am instead of thinking I should be different, or I'm not okay if I'm not calm and peaceful about that there's something wrong with me. That's a part of acceptance. And I think it's a journey. And there's different levels of accepting as each of us goes along in life.
Humor and fun have also been part of your journey.
Yes. It does make me laugh when I think about it. I have this wonderful character that I created called Sweet Pea. She's my clown character. And
complete with clown suit and the whole
thing.
Oh,
yes, absolutely. And I never forget this. It was the second bout for me. It was 99. And I was flying for treatment, and I was reading Patch Adams. And I found myself laughing and crying and being inspired, because Patch Adams was also a clown. And it just came to me while I was on the plane that what I needed was to bring laughter into my life, because that's a very important part of the healing process. So after my treatment, I went home. I created a clown character. I had someone make me an incredible costume, and I was very clear what I wanted to do. I wanted to go play with the children in the hospitals in short stay. And I tell you, it just brought everyone, including the nurses, everyone, the kids, myself, it brought so much laughter and so much joy. And I know, you know, we've all heard about watch silly movies, really all those things, because it can be heavy and serious. And I don't want the group, I want the groups to be lighthearted.
So you are teaching a course. We're talking to Colette Feinberg. She's a life and wellness coach, a four-time cancer survivor, and will be teaching a course that goes from the end of October through December. And for more information, people can go to your website, which is thebalancecoach.com, or call 466-2657. And we're here talking in honor of Cancer Awareness Week. I want to thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much, Mary. You know, I just want to say one other thing. I'm trying to make it very, very comfortable and easy for people. So the series will be on the phone, so no one has to go anywhere. They're in the comfort of their own home.
Like a conference
call
with the whole group?
Yes, it's a conference call, and I'm keeping the groups very small, about maybe 10 people.
Very
interesting. So they could be intimate and authentic.
And they know each other's voices, even if they don't see each other's faces.
Absolutely.
Colette Feinberg, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org. We are podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, and that means that you can hear the show there anytime you like, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe, and you can always email me as well at radiocafe@ksfr.org. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team, and after that, the Colors of Jazz.